Hello out there. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk K-12 Education Show here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Tanisha Langley, education enthusiast, thought leader, and founder of Enrichment Strategist Services, LLC, an education consulting business. You can connect with me through Linktree Enrichment Strategist. Another day, y'all. I'm excited to partner with you, dedicated to the heart of our community, which is education. I'm the host, but you and the community mean the most. I would love for you to share your suggestions of what you would love to get more information in regards to K-12 education. So please don't hesitate. Email me at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Again, if you have K-12 topics that you would like to have shared on the show, email me at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. As a former educator and classroom teacher from a traditional public school setting, my goal is to use this platform as an unbiased show to educate and provide information as it pertains to educating our future. That is the goal of the Let's Talk K-12 Education Show, to let others know that in the challenging educational landscape, there is a light that pierces the darkness and there are educators working in the trenches, stakeholders, and educational thought leaders like myself, partnering to close the gap of the school-to-prison pipeline with tenacity, grit, grind, while providing hope. Being a former middle school teacher and grandmother to 8 adorable school-age grandbabies, I recognize the importance of creating and establishing a positive, productive, sturdy foundation at home. Meanwhile, while bridging the gap for home-to-school connection for this school year. As a result of that, I started Brain Teasers to promote critical thinking skills, which provides information, tips, tools, and resources in an effort to promote educational equity for our listening audience. Let's open the show in true educational style with How Is Your Brain Game to get your mindset shifts ready for this school year. And again, returning back, getting your routines in place from the K-12 holiday, Christmas, and New Year's vacation. So let's get back into the groove of things as you prepare to get these tasks with your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, godchildren, and the entire K-12 crew. So riddle me this. I am a skill you can't see but can feel. I help you manage stress and guide your actions without a word. Students, teachers, and parents rely on me to succeed, yet I am often overlooked in the classroom. Without me, even the smartest struggle, and those with me find strength in challenge. What am I? The answer, which is embedded in today's show topic, is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence. So this riddle emphasizes the often underestimated impact of emotional intelligence within educational environments, reminding us that while academic knowledge is vital, emotional skills are equally essential for achieving true educational excellence. Here is a How Is Your Brain Game fun fact, courtesy of AI University. So here's a fun fact. Did you know that emotional intelligence, or what some people refer to as EQ, is like a superpower in schools? Research shows that when everyone, teachers, students, staff, and families prioritize emotional health, it leads to better learning, stronger relationships, and even higher achievement. Schools that focus on EQ see fewer conflicts, improve teamwork, and happier, more successful students. It turns out that taking care of our feelings isn't just good for us, it's great for learning too. This fact shows that emotional intelligence benefits the whole school community, building a foundation for success that goes beyond academics. So today's show topic is leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health. Leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health. Our topic goal and objectives today is to explore the critical role of emotional health in educational leadership and student success, and to provide practical strategies for fostering positive mental health in schools. Specific objectives is to define emotional intelligence and its importance in leadership, discuss the impact of emotional health on student learning and behavior, explore strategies for building strong relationships with students and staff, identify effective methods for managing stress and promoting self-care among educators. So we're going to be discussing the role of school culture in supporting emotional health, taking a look at a few resources and support systems available to schools and educators. So, in other words, by the end of the show today, as we talk about leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health, our viewing and listening audience should have a deeper understanding of the importance of emotional health in education and be equipped with practical strategies to promote positive mental health in their schools and communities. So, according to AI University, here are two myths regarding emotional health in the K-12 settings, along with realities and clarifications. Myth one, emotional health isn't as important as academic skills. The reality is, emotional health is essential to academic success. Students who can manage their emotions are better equipped to focus, problem solve, and communicate effectively. In fact, studies show that students with strong emotional skills often perform better academically and are more resilient in the face of challenges. Emotional health is the foundation that supports learning. I will insert there to provide more context around some of what, you know, the new generation, their experiences. They have very low EQ, emotional intelligence. And one of the ways is when we provide those additional supports, it can help them beyond the K-12 setting as they get into college and have to collaborate with others and socialize with others and to be able to properly send a correct professional email, properly express their emotions and thoughts and feelings the appropriate way in a professional setting. So helping students in the K-12 setting, improve in that skill set with emotional intelligence will take them a very long way. So myth number two, teaching emotional skills, just kind of mentioned that, is the job of parents and not schools. Oh, well, the reality for that is while families play a crucial role, schools are where students spend a large part of their day. Incorporating emotional health into school life supports academic growth, improves school climate, and prepares students for real-world challenges. Kind of just use that example of some of my friends who are in mid-level management, often discuss the challenges and difficulties they face with some of the Gen Zers, as well as some of the millennials, because of their low emotional intelligence and, you know, not being able to have the capacity to self-regulate their emotions or be able to articulate themselves professionally or express themselves professionally. So these are some of those real world challenges that when we are not providing those supports or helping students to enhance the emotional intelligence skill set, it can follow them beyond the K-12 setting and impact them tremendously as they begin their college and or professional or working careers. So when schools and families partner on emotional health, students gain a more consistent, supportive environment to develop these vital skills. Hopefully, dispelling these myths can help the K-12 community see the full value of focusing on emotional health as part of an excellent education. So, you know, from time to time, I like to provide case studies to as a point of reference as we talk about, develop, and take a deeper dive into the subjects that we're talking about. And today, the topic that we're talking about is leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health. So I got a case study. building a culture of emotional wellness and academic success at Evergreen Middle School. Here's a little background. Evergreen Middle School is located in a diverse urban district faced high levels of student stress and teacher burnout, which were impacting both the school climate and academic performance. In response, the school launched an initiative called the Heart of Learning, ooh, I just love the title, aimed at integrating emotional health practices into the everyday fabric of the school experience. What were some of their objectives? To enhance emotional intelligence among students and staff, to improve overall well-being, reduce stress-related incidents like conflicts, disciplinary actions, and absenteeism, increase academic performance by creating a supportive, emotionally aware school environment. And here's some of the ways that they put that practice into implementation. Number one, training educators and staff. Evergreen provided teachers and staff with professional development on emotional intelligence, stress management, and mindfulness techniques. I love myself some mindfulness, but that's a whole nother show, a whole nother topic, because I could do a whole 30 minutes to an hour on mindfulness techniques. Teachers were encouraged to use emotional check-ins at the start of each day and to incorporate emotional health discussions into their lessons. Again, I'm going to get into being culturally responsive teaching. That's part of it, is to make sure that you're incorporating these aspects of addressing the whole child, not just academics, but the whole child. And I think that that is wonderful, Evergreen. Kudos to you. Number two, student-centered programs. Evergreen launched a daily mindful moment for all students starting each school day with 5 minutes of mindfulness exercises. They also implemented social-emotional learning, SEL, programs where students practice skills like empathy, self-awareness, and problem-solving. Again, I could insert myself into that before I get into point number three with, I'm not going to point all of the blame at the pandemic or the lack of empathy and social interactions with social media. But I feel as though it is my opinion that that plays a large role into why our students and those beyond, like your Gen Zers and your millennials, are struggling something fierce with being able to appropriately interact with others and respond in the appropriate manners. So that's a whole other show, a whole other topic that I could develop there and delve a little deeper. But for the sake of time, I'm going to move on to number three, family and community involvement. The school held monthly workshops for families on supporting emotional health at home, fostering a sense of partnership in the initiative. Again, before I move on to number four, that word partnership, again, you will hear me say it over and over and over in all of my shows. There is no I in teamwork. There is no I in teamwork. It takes a team. It takes a village in order for these K-12 students to be successful. It takes bridging home to school, school to home, in order to set our students up to success. It takes addressing the whole child as we are trying to turn around our education system, because it doesn't always get the best rap, but these are your small ways to contribute to help improve our school system, improve the well-being of the child, improve and tighten up on your partnerships that should be established, families to schools and schools to families. But that's, again, a whole other show. I could go on and on and on about that. I feel so passionate about it. But let's move on to number four. Peer support networks. Evergreen created peer mentorship programs pairing older students with younger ones to build a sense of belonging and provide emotional support. That looked very similar, before I talk about the results, looked very similar to the school that I taught in for middle school here in Pitt County in North Carolina. We have Ron Clark Academy, give them a little shout out, had this like a PBIS model for called the house system. And our principal sent sent our media assistant there to learn the system and come back and help us implement it. And that gave everyone a sense of belonging. Everyone belonged to a certain house, including not just your curriculum and educational practitioners, like your certified staff, but that included bus drivers. It included cafeteria workers, cafeteria staff. It included the custodial staff. It included everyone, that we all belonged to a house in the system, and we all came together in our houses for common goals. And then we had shared goals as a school with all of the houses. I think we had about four different houses, house systems. So, not sure how much, you know, my principal invested to have this done, but that is, I tell you, it definitely was having the house system that was inspired by the RCA, which is the Ron Clark Academy, was very instrumental in one of the ways that was able to help us cause this turnaround transformation in our school from F school to a C school. So very impactful. All right, let's get back to the results of this Evergreen. So within a year, Evergreen Middle School saw measurable improvements. Listen at this, guys. 25% reduction in disciplinary actions as students learn better emotional regulation. Wonderful. 20% increase in student attendance due to a more supportive and engaging school climate. We also saw that implemented the house system inspired by Ron Clark Academy at our school at this time, because these students had something to look forward to. They had, it's community, basically, partnerships and community within our own ecosystem of our schools. It was beautiful. It was amazing. If you could just see that, I hope you hear the smile in my tone, because it gives me warm fuzzies every time I think about it. It improved academic scores across key subjects, particularly in students who previously struggled with stress or anxiety. Higher teacher satisfaction and lower turnover as staff felt supported and engaged in a healthier work environment. Whew, that is key. Right now, teacher retention is at an all-time low. We're not able to keep wonderful certified educators that feel very passionate and purposeful in their line of work every day. But I can tell you, we had lower staff turnaround during this time. I think we went from 1 year to the next year, and I don't think anybody transferred or resigned. And that was data proven, that implementing these types of initiatives in a school can be instrumental in helping to get the results and the outcomes that you're looking for academically. Job satisfaction, staff satisfaction, student satisfaction, family satisfaction. So it was just wonderful. What were some lessons that Evergreen learned? So in their journey, it demonstrated that by prioritizing emotional health, schools could improve not only student well-being, but also academic outcomes and staff satisfaction. Being a culture of emotional awareness and support turned out to be a cornerstone for achieving educational excellence. This case study shows how focusing on emotional health in a structured way can create a positive ripple effect, enhancing both the academic and social success of students and staff alike. So here are some practical classroom strategies that K-12 educators and stakeholders can implement to support both educational excellence and healthy emotional health. Number one, morning check-ins. The strategy behind it is you can start each day with a brief emotional check-in where students share their mood using colors, emojis, or simple words. This helps students become aware of their own emotions and encourages a supportive classroom atmosphere. What are the benefits? It allows students to reflect on and manage their emotions from the beginning of the day, setting a positive tone for learning. Number two, mindful moments. What's the strategy? Dedicate 5 minutes to mindfulness exercises at the start or end of each class. Activities can include breathing exercises, silent reflection, or guided imagery to help students manage stress. What are the benefits? It improves focus, reduces anxiety, and builds emotional regulation skills, which enhance students' capacity to engage and learn effectively. Number three, SEL, social emotional learning lessons. What's the strategy? Integrate SEL lessons weekly, focusing on skills like empathy, problem solving, self-regulation, and conflict resolution. These can be woven into existing subjects or delivered as standalone sessions. Me, I like for things to integrate across, to go cross-curricular. So I would probably integrate it just to get the biggest buck for our money on that. So what's the benefit? Students learn life skills that improve peer relationships, decrease conflict, and foster a respectful and understanding classroom culture. Number four, flexible seating and safe spaces. What's the strategy? Create a calm corner or a dedicated safe space in the classroom with comfortable seating, sensory tools, and calming visuals where students can go to regroup if they feel overwhelmed. What are the benefits? It empowers students to self-regulate and reinforces that managing emotions is part of a healthy learning environment. Number five, encouraging growth mindset. Ooh, one of my favorites. What's the strategy? Use language that promotes a growth mindset, such as praising effort and resilience over results. Encourage students to view challenges as learning opportunities. What are the benefits? It builds emotional resilience, persistence, and confidence in students, reducing fear of failure and promoting continuous learning. Number six, weekly reflection journals. Strategy, have students keep a reflection journal to write about their week, challenges they face. The challenges that they faced, and this can be private or shared with the teacher. What are the benefits? It enhances self-awareness and helps students process their experiences, which is essential for emotional growth and academic focus. Number seven, teacher modeling and self-care. What's the strategy? Educators model healthy emotional practices by sharing strategies they use for stress management and self-care, showing students that emotional health is a priority for everyone in the school building, everyone in the K-12 setting. What's the benefit? It normalizes emotional awareness and self-care for students, creating a classroom culture where emotional health is valued. Number eight, family and community involvement. What's the strategy? Regularly communicate with families about emotional health practices in the classroom and offer resources or workshops for supporting these practices at home. What's the benefit? It reinforces emotional health as a priority across school and home environments, creating a more supportive framework for students. These strategies foster a learning environment where emotional health and academic success go hand in hand, empowering students and educators alike to excel while prioritizing well-being. What are our key takeaways for educators here with leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health? Here are some key takeaways for each group involved. So for educators, you can integrate emotional health, recognize that emotional health directly impacts academic success, prioritize social emotional learning as part of daily routines, model emotional intelligence, demonstrate effective emotional management, empathy, and resilience to set a positive example. Professional development, invest in training to build skills in emotional health practices such as stress management and mindfulness to better support students. For students, self-awareness and self-management. Embrace strategies like reflection and mindfulness to understand and manage emotions, which enhances focus and problem solving. Growth mindset. View challenges as learning opportunities and practice resilience by seeking setbacks as a part of the learning process. Seek support. Understand that asking for help with emotional health is as important as seeking help with academics. How can families get involved? They can emphasize emotional health at home, reinforce emotional intelligence practices like open communication and empathy to support emotional growth. Stay informed. Be aware of the emotional health initiatives in school to create consistency and support at home. It encourages a balanced life. It supports your child's academic and emotional needs by encouraging balance of studies, social activities, and rest. How can stakeholders get involved, like administrators, community partners, and policymakers, to promote a school-wide culture of emotional health? Advocate for policies and programs that integrate emotional health into the academic environment. Allocate resources. Ensure that emotional health programs and resources such as counselors and SEL materials are prioritized and available. Collaborate with community resources. Partner with local organizations to bring in resources like workshops, mental health services, and support for families. These takeaways emphasize that emotional health is a community effort that requires consistent support from everyone involved in the educational journey. This collaborative approach lays the groundwork for lasting educational excellence. Resources for leading the way to educational excellence with helpful emotional health for the educators, stakeholders, and K-12 families of our listening and viewing community. Here's a collection before with the end of our show today of valuable resources for educators and stakeholders. So as pertains to leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health, for educators, Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, so CASEL, C-A-S-E-L. The website is casel.org. So plug it into your browser and learn about CASEL, which a lot of schools started implementing after the pandemic. It's kind of controversial, maybe in some areas, not so sure why, but another resource that you can utilize as it pertains to leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health is look up mindfulschools.org, mindfulschools.org. And it offers online training for educators on integrating mindfulness into classrooms, which helps teachers and students reduce stress, increase focus, and improve emotional regulation. Edutopia Social and Emotional Learning, the website, edutopia.org/social-emotional-learning. So basically, there's other articles that you can look for. You can, you know, put that into your search inquiry as you are, you know, looking into ways to improve your emotional health. For families, here's a parent toolkit for social and emotional learning. So it would be parenttoolkit.com, parenttoolkit.com. So that's some of the ways that you can, you know, help partner with the schools that may be implementing SEL in the classes every day, that you're able to do it. So talked a lot about ways leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health, provided some resources, provided some examples of why it's important, some things that I utilized when I was in the classroom and could see the benefits of how having a school-wide collaborative that exercised inclusivity, where everyone had a sense of belonging, and how it was part of what allowed us to transform a F school with behavior support to a C school, totally operating without behavior support, and was able to get off state monitor plans. So leading the way to educational excellence with healthy emotional health can be vital in so many ways. And I'm glad that you all tuned in today and hope that you will join us again at another time to get more information. But provided you with some resources, before I get ready to head out of here, I want to thank you for joining us on Let's Talk K-12 Education show here on the Realizing Your Potential TV network. We are grateful for your time, insights, and dedication to exploring what truly makes a difference in the lives of our students, educators, and communities. Your commitment to understanding and advancing K-12 education is what drives meaningful change. Together, We're shaping the future of education, one conversation, one episode at a time. Wishing you continued success and inspiration as you help unlock the potential in every learner. This is Tanisha Langley, your educational enthusiast, thought leader, and show host for Let's Talk K-12 Education on Realizing Your Potential TV Network. Where can you find us? You can find us here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until next week, where we are empowered through education, I look to see you back here next week, next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Talk to you later. Bye.